We're in Sefer Chovos HaLevavot, we're in Shaar BaTochon in the introduction. And we're going through benefits that a person has in this world from having BaTochon in Hashem. אחד אותו אלד שהביטחון בהשם מביא לבד את השם היא שבטח בהשם no matter which life situation he's in, he always recognizes that Hashem put him in this particular life situation for his benefit. There's no good or bad in his life. There's no, when I have this, then I'll be happy. There's, this is the situation Hashem put me in now to be happy. אם הוא בעל הון, and if he's someone who is wealthy, who מזדרז למלא ברכושו, וחפץ לב ורוח נדיבה, he's someone who uses his money generously in a joyful way, in a happy way, את חובותיו כלפי אלוקים, and all his obligations towards Hashem, the mitzvahs that he fills, the charity that he gives, he does in a joyous way, את חובותיו כלפי בני אדם, ואם אין לו רכוש, הוא משוכנע כי היעדר הרכוש הוא אחד הטובות שהשם מיטיב עמו. And if he's poor, he says, thank God I'm poor. And why is he saying, thank God he's poor? He says, it's a big benefit that Hashem gave me. מפני שהוא משוחרר על ידי כך מהחיובים שרכוש היה מטיל עליו כלפי אלוקים וכלפי אדם. He says, you know what tirdot I would have, what bothers I would have if I was wealthy? I would have to be dealing with banks, and I'd have to be dealing with mortgages, and I'd be dealing with all insurances, and I'd have so many things which are external I would be taking care of. And that would be a big tirchah on my mind. He doesn't have to worry about guarding his investments and how his investments are doing and looking up and checking up on them and paying his insurances and being worried about things. He's free from all of that. I was once in a shul which there was shacharis, and then they finished having shacharis, and then people who wanted to leave left, and the people who wanted to stay and learn were learning, but they locked the door. So there were some people inside learning, but if someone wanted to come in, they had to know the code, or someone to open for them, but the door was locked. For shacharis it was open, people walked in freely, but after, so I was sitting there with someone else who were learning, and suddenly it was like banging, banging, banging on the door. It was a little scary. Like, why did they banging, banging, banging? So it's Africa also, so it was even more scary. What's going on here? They're banging, banging. So like we went to like look and suddenly see was there. It was one of the guys who had been davening earlier in shul. So my brother-in-law, he went and he opened the door, and the person didn't even greet him, didn't even say shalom. He's like pushed him aside, ran in, went to his place where he was davening, and went, oh. And like, what happened? What has happened? He said, I got to work, and my gold watch was missing. And I was frantic, and I couldn't focus on anything, and I was looking in the car, on the street. I thought, maybe I dropped it in shul, and I came back, and thank God I found it. So my brother-in-law said, I'm happy for you, and like, he said, I'm good. And my brother-in-law came back to me and he said, I just now understood the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, marbeh nechassim, marbeh da'aga. Someone who has more possessions, they just have more worry. Like if that person wouldn't have a gold watch, he had a simple watch, he would say, okay, I lost the watch, not a big deal. He'll still look for it, but it wouldn't cause his panic, his anxious, oh my God, the watch. Someone who has bitachon in Hashem, the life situation is irrelevant to him. It's irrelevant to him. He'll do the best he can in whatever situation he has. There's a concept called, in Hebrew it's called model ha'osher. Now model is English, so the happiness factor, let's call it. Probably has a different name, but the happiness factor. The happiness factor goes like this. A person sets a target for himself that he says, when I accomplish so and so, and then you know, fill in the blank, when I get married, when I have a particular job, when I've got this particular car, whatever it is that the person says to himself, when I have that, then I will be happy. So now he allows himself to not be happy and complain and grumble and moan until he gets that, because he doesn't have the whatever it is that he defined for himself. And his whole life is a life of like, oh, when I have. So he's just in a state of constant complaint, not happiness. But it's okay because he has a vision. When he gets that, he'll be happy. He gets that, he's happy for 20 minutes, half an hour. he bought the car. Oh, he's got the car. Maybe, I was exaggerating it. Maybe 4 or 5 days. He drives the car around, there's a new sense of feeling. Once everyone's seen the car, so now what? Then he says, well, what's going to make me happy now? What do you mean, what's going to make you happy? You have the car. He goes, no, but I have the car. So what's going to make me happy? Now, that's not so logical, but that's how it works. And then he says, okay, well, when I have three cars, or when I've gone on this place of vacation, or when I've got this amount of children, or when whatever it is that he set for himself, it could be within Torah as well. It could be only when I've finished the Masechta, then I'll be happy and I'll see myself as someone worthwhile. Only then. And until then he allows himself to feel upset and depressed the whole time. And his whole life is depressed. His whole life is frustrated. His whole life is a life of complaining. Always, when I will get thee, and then makes him upset. And Bitochon model is, life circumstances are irrelevant, totally. Someone who is wealthy will look at his life circumstances and say, this is benefiting me. He'll look for the benefits, he'll find it. And let's just be honest, just between us, let's be honest. Is he being real or is he being fake? The rich person and the poor person. The rich person isn't being real. He has things that bother him. The poor person is not being real. He's not able to do things that he wants to do. They're not being real. So I want to be someone intellectual, logical, real, honest. Honest! Isn't honesty a virtue? I want to be someone sane. These people who have bitachon are not normal. They're not being logical, they're not intellectual, they're not thinking straight, they're ignoring parts of the truth. On either side, I don't care. But they're not being... I want to see myself as someone who's truthful, well-rounded. That's what the person says, looking at this sefer a bit, chovos avit levavos, shar bitachon, it's not being honest, it's not being authentic. Is that true? Is that really true? It's interesting, you know, the man has a filter in his mind. If you wouldn't have a filter, you would overdrive immediately. You can't take in all the bits of information that your brain is able to handle. There are a million bits of information that can go into the mind at any one given time, and your mind, in order to remain sane and focused, it takes in only the ones that are relevant to it. So your mind works using a filter. Now, how that filter works is your choice. You don't have a choice to filter. You have to filter. But you do have a choice as to what you filter. So someone who is logical and well-rounded and sane and logical and intellectual, he's filtering most of the information. He's not seeing everything. He's not being well-rounded. He's just choosing a filter. And what filter does he choose? He chooses a negative one. He could choose a half-half one. Or he could choose a positive one. You get to choose which filter you use. If a person decides to choose a negative filter, wherever he goes, the food isn't good, that was nice, but the other thing wasn't nice. Wherever he goes, yeah, overall it was good, but the floor wasn't clean in the corner down there, so did you notice down there in the corner it wasn't clean? What do you mean, the whole thing was clean? How did you notice that? I have a filter. I'm a heightened sensitivity towards these things. I pick them up. Why are you choosing them up? You're causing yourself suffering. No, I'm just insightful, okay? You're insightful, I'm suffering. You're insightful on the things that cause you to suffer. I'm insightful on the things that bring joy to the world. Why are you being insightful on those things? So everyone is filtering. And you get to choose what's the filter. A man of bitachon is a man who He notices that when things are going wrong. Not that he's ignoring them. He notices them, but he doesn't choose to focus on them. What benefit's going to come in the world from that? If you're in a difficult life situation, you could change it, change it. If you're in a situation which currently this is what is happening, then are you going to choose to complain and be upset about it? Lose, lose. You can't change the situation, it's not fixing anything, and it's making you upset. Lose, lose. If you have a bitachon mindset, it's win-win. If there's something to change, you'll say, thank God, this world for the opportunity to change, and you'll change it. If there's something to change, you'll say, thank you Hashem for putting me in this situation, which obviously is best for me at this time. Win-win. You're using a filter. Use a bitachon filter. So when someone says to you, look at that child. That child has good sides to him and bad sides to him. Now why are they saying that? If they're saying that because they're a loving, caring educator, and they want to help that child improve and grow, and therefore they're noticing what needs to be improved, and they do it in a loving, caring way, it's a very positive thing to notice. But if they're doing it just to give a judgment statement, good and bad, what benefit did you get from that? You will continue to bring out the good and the bad of that child. But if the way you speak to that child is only noticing the good in them, if you say to someone, that this is, people can ruin children the way they speak. They say something, the child does something wrong. They go, well, I know what I can expect from you. That phrase labels that child to continue doing the negative behavior. That's, I knew what to expect from you. I knew that was going to happen. The child says, yes, that's what happens with me. And they're stuck now in that way of behavior because their parent has stuck that tag on them, that label on them. So you notice the negativity, you bring it out, that's what's going to be. So this parent says, yes, but I'm being honest. That's what I know to expect from him. Yes, you're ruining the child by focusing on that aspect and enhancing it. So don't say you're being honest. You're filtering the negativity, meaning you're filtering to choose the negativity. But if you would ignore that, you ignore that. And when the child in that same area does something good, you say, I knew I could rely on you to do that. And the child might say to themselves, yeah, right, 95% I don't do a good job. But they'll say, yeah, but my whoever it is, my teacher, my Rebbe, my father, sees in me that. They'll say, yeah, I'm like that. That's who I am. Now, really, they're only 5% like that. But that's how they'll start viewing themselves. You filtered the positivity. Good job. Then they'll say, I should do that again because that's the way he sees me. I want to keep up that image in his eyes. That's how he sees me. 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%. The one who is being intellectually honest, he ruined that kid and made him stuck in. And then what will that parent say? I knew all along. Not that you knew all along. You created it by focusing on that, by making that your filter. The other parent said, I knew all along. I also created it by noticing the positive. And that's an example of a parent and child, but it's also with yourself in your inner world. If you in your inner mind are saying to yourself, yeah, that's what I always do. That's what more could I expect of myself than that? Then you're re-enhancing the negativity. And that's what's going to make it stronger and stronger. But if you say, it happens. It happens sometimes. It's external. It's random. It just kind of happens. I don't know where that came from. And you leave it to be external. And when a good thing happens, you say, I have a leif tahor. I'm a good person. I'm a Eved Hashem. That's why I'm doing that to who I am. It's my essence. It's long term. It's who I am. It's my essence. It's long term. So what's going to happen? That becomes you. That becomes long-term you. It's not only about parents and children. It's about the way you speak to yourself, your inner voice. So a man of bitachon is someone who his filter is God. He has a God filter. What he picks up, what he notices is a Kodesh Baruch. If you recently bought a car, then you suddenly notice, oh, everyone, he's got a Mazda 5, he's got a Mazda 5, he's got a Mazda 5. The whole road is full of Mazda 5s. All of a sudden, the day you bought the Mazda 5, millions of other people bought a Mazda 5. No, it's not true. There was the same amount of Mazda 5s on the road yesterday as the other day. You just weren't paying attention. But now that's become your filter. Because you bought one and you need to justify the fact that you bought one, so you're now noticing that everyone else has bought the same one. It becomes your way of viewing the world. So your way of viewing the world could be a Mazda 5, or it could be Hashem. You could make a God-orientated filter. So everything you ever notice would be, what does Hashem want in this situation? A person is a man of bitachon, the life situation is pretty irrelevant to him. You could put him in any role. And he's always seeing what Hashem wants from him in this situation. He'll pick up the God's will in any given situation. Mesupar l'achad ha-chassidim, Shaya Omer, Hashem yetzileini mipizur ha-nefesh. There was a great chassid, which is usually referring to himself. He's just humble. So he says, his prayer to Hashem would be, God, save me from division of my soul. Pizur ha-nefesh. Dividing up of my soul. V'shalu oto, ma kavanatcha mipizur ha-nefesh. What do you mean by that? Ana lehem ha-chassid, shelo yeh li ruchush בכל הנמלים ובכל הערים כדי שלא תהיינה מחשבותיי מפוזרות בכל מקומות הללו. He said, God, don't let me have wealth in numerous areas because then my mind will be scattered. My mind will be here, my mind will be there, my mind will be everywhere. Give me a second. But I thought I was going to say, and it's not, but I'm just going to add that on my own. Another interpretation one could say of what does it mean the prayer Pizur HaNefesh, God save me from Pizur HaNefesh, is what we were just saying. That when a person notices many different things of different areas which bring out within him positivity and negativity, he's got Pizur HaNefesh, because it's dependent on all the different things that he sees. But when a person still says Hashem, then he has a one track. It says that in a singular language, the Jewish people, Vayachan Kol Ha'am Ahar Hashem, all the Jewish people dwelled at the mountain Sinai in singular. V'yichan, singular. Why singular? Because they weren't with different missions, with different visions. They were different tribes. They had different missions ultimately. But right now they'd all come to serve Hashem. So pizur nefesh is when a person is trying to please many, many people, or they have different sides themselves, or they're pushing them in all different ways. They don't know which one to please at any different time. But when you have Hashem's will, it doesn't make a difference what life situation you're in. It doesn't make a difference to you, external things, or other people are thinking about you. All those things are irrelevant. It's, I'm doing the will of Hashem, whatever my life situation is. And that gives an inner calmness. I'm doing the will of Hashem. Yeah. Now. Say it again. I have a problem because? Within yourself, different targets, or seeing other people serving Hashem different ways? So part of being a bitachon mindset is, what I have now is what Hashem wants me to be. And I see someone else, I'm happy for them that they're serving Hashem in their way. And it's also true on spiritual levels. If I see someone who's on a higher spiritual level, I say, that's something I would like to strive towards. And if I can take a next step towards it, I'm definitely going to take it. But right now, I recognize that Hashem has given me what I need to serve Him. Hashem doesn't trick you and give you a target that you can't keep. He'll give you a target and the tools that you need to serve Hashem. So if right now you're struggling in something, then that's your place. That's what you need to be doing. So as long as you're always advancing forward and taking the next step, you won't have the mindset of over him and him and him and him, because a man of bitachon recognizes that Hashem has given me exactly what I need to serve Hashem. And that gives him an inner calmness. And that's what Chazal mean when they say, Nachasim Aved Da'aga, like the story of the gold watch. For Odam Ru and Pirkei Avos, Eizu Ashir, Asameach B'chalko. Oh, we have a lot to say about this. That whole perek there, the whole Mishnah says, different qualities that man has, which we would naturally give a different answer to. Eizu Ashir, our Western world answer would be, everyone, depending on where they live, owning his own house, having a fortune, a million, whatever currency is in, not South Africa, but whatever currency is in, and then you're considered wealthy. That's a wealthy. But the Gemara, the Mishnah, doesn't say an objective external trait. It's something totally dependent on you. Eizu Ashir Asameach B'chalko. Meaning, it's irrelevant how much, you hear that? It's irrelevant how much money you have. It's totally irrelevant. I mean, this is the exact opposite of the model Osher that we spoke about earlier, the model of joy. The model of joy that we spoke about earlier, if you set some external target, and then you say, when that external target is reached, then I'll be happy. This is saying, I always have this power within me to be happy. It's about my perception of it. Ezu Gibor, who is strong, the foreign mindset would be, the external mindset would be, someone who's able to pick up a weight of a certain amount. That's external. That's someone who's strong, that's external. That's not dependent on me. So who says I can reach it? Not up to me. But what is the answer of the Mishnah? Eizu Gibor, Akovesh Ditzra. It's dependent on me totally. Meaning from a foreign mindset, your value is judged by an external measure. Which means that it's hopeless. Because if you're not able to do it, you're stuck. And you're a failure. But if you have a Torah mindset, then Hashem is not setting us up for failure, He's setting us up for success. Everything depends on you. You can make yourself happy, you can make yourself rich. Eizu Ashir, Eizu Gibor, what else is there? Eizu Chacham. So you would think it's about the IQ. You would think about how much material, how many tafim you've finished. That's a Chacham. You're able to quote here, quote there. What's the answer? Halomed mikol adam. Your level is irrelevant. It's your mindset. The fact that you're choosing to learn from everyone who comes your way. Eizuhu Mukhubat. What's Mukhubat? So you would think if you've got a title before your name, a special chair that you sit on, your special clothing that you wear, that's a Mukhubat. Ma'oz Mukhubat. You're sitting in that place, you got called up for that. Aliyah, that's Mukhubat. What's the answer to Gemara? Hamachabedach at the Briot. It's someone who's honoring other people. It's nothing to do with an external value. It's all your choice. Someone who's a man of bitachon is not looking for something external. When I reach that seat, when I reach that amount of money, when I'm able to pick up that type of a weight, all those things are external. That's not the Torah's value. It's not the Torah's measuring stick. The Torah's measuring stick is that you always have the power to reach the value that you wish to reach, because it's all about the effort you're putting in. And Hashem has already given you all that you need to accomplish. It's all about perception. If you're able to recognize that you can honor other people, You're honorable. If you're able to recognize that you can learn from other people, that you can overcome your negative traits, that you can be happy with what you Hashem has already given you, you'll be full of joy. You're not dependent on anyone else for joy. Asamech v'chalko. V'avoteach b'Hashem magia el ha-to'elet ve'el ha-mamon. Therefore, someone who trusts Hashem, he reaches the purpose of what money was for. This is a big question. This is a big point. This is interesting. Whenever you say, I want something, whatever it is, physical or spiritual, you always have to say, what is it in that I want? It could be that two people want the same thing for totally different reasons. And you find that when you learn in the Charuta with someone, and you have a totally different agenda of what you want in the Charuta, you both want to learn Torah. But what you want to get out of the learning, or you end up learning, is two totally different things. So it's important not just to say, what do you want, but to say, for you, what does that mean? When you say you want to be a Talmud Chacham, what does that mean to you? When you say you want to be rich, what does that mean to you? When you say you want to be a family, what does that mean to you? And if you have an understanding more deeply of what it is that you want, then you'll be more mechuvan, more in tune to actually get it. Otherwise, you might say, I want to be a Talmud Chacham, and they'll say, oh, Talmud Chacham, you have to do this, 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 and this. And you start doing that and you feel unhappy. Like, I don't know why I'm not happy. I'm doing what they said. Yeah, but why you want to be Talmud Chacham is different to what the path they gave you. And therefore you won't be successful in that path because it's not what you were really looking for. You always have to ask yourself, what is it in being a Talmud Chacham that you want? What is your ultimate goal that you want? So someone who says, I want money, you have to ask yourself, what is it in money that you want? Is it security? Is it fame? Is it power? There are different things that you could want. You could have a couple who money to them is very important for totally different reasons. So one, it's about honor and fame, and one, it's security. And they always have fighting about whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to want money. And for the one who's saying it's security, for them it's like a basic human need, nothing external. And for the other one, for them, money represents honor and power, and they're always fighting. Why is money important to you? Money's very important. It's not important. It's why you're talking. They're talking about two different things. He's talking about security, and she's talking about showing off, or the other way around. So that's why they're arguing, because they're not really arguing. They just don't understand the words they're using. So they're using the word money, but for them, money means an entirely different thing. So a man of bitachon is a man who says, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? But well, let me think more deeply. Why is it that I want to accomplish that? Why? And when he gets to the point of, I want to serve Hashem, because that's his answer for everything. Right? His why, his what I want for is to be an Eved Hashem, then the external becomes external and irrelevant. I want my money because I want to give tzedakah. Why do you want to give tzedakah? I want to do the will of Hashem. And if you don't have money to give tzedakah, does that bother you? No, I'll do the will of Hashem some other way. Okay, so it doesn't bother me. Meaning when you have external things that you want and you don't know why, then you don't even know what's driving you. And then you'll do irrational things. When you understand why it is that you want, then you can understand your deeper inner needs. Then it's not always necessarily what you thought is the way to get it. It could be a better way to get it, a more productive, successful way to get it. So a person who, the reason he wants money is to serve Hashem, once he recognizes that he's able to accomplish that in a different way, then he'll be without kirdat ha-machshava, he'll be without da'agat ha-medit, he's not always worried and concerned. As Shlomo Melech says, "Mutuka shenat ha-oved in me'at im arbeh yochal, v'asava la'ashir einenu manech l'rishon." It's sweeter for a person who is a working man, whether he has a little, whether he has a lot, but he recognizes that he has inner satisfaction, that he is doing his own work, that someone who's rich and he's not able to sleep because for him money represents whatever it represents, and it's causing him worries and concerns. So a man of bitachon doesn't look the external, he looks the internal, he recognizes that from within he has all the kochot, the power to do whatever he needs to do. External factors never bother him or shake him. He has the trust of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that sees him through any external situation.